From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, the new landscape of air travel in North Texas, a view from the passenger's window. First, to what was supposed to be the first U.S. execution after Oklahoma botched one 2 weeks ago. It did not happen. Robert James Campbell, convicted of a rape and murder in Houston, had been scheduled to die tonight in Huntsville. As KERA's Dwelly Sikautau reports, he was given a last-minute stay.
Just hours before his expected execution, attorneys for Campbell got the news, a unanimous ruling that will allow the Texas inmate to prove that he is intellectually disabled. But attorney Maury Levin is still concerned about the lethal compounding drug that was used in the botched execution of Oklahoma inmate Clayton Lockett.
The landscape has changed and changed dramatically since the events in Oklahoma when Mr. Clayton Lockett suffered a torturous death. The secrecy that Oklahoma insisted upon and which led, we contend, to that torturous death is the same that Texas is now pursuing.
Richard Dieter with the Death Penalty Information Center in Washington, D.C. agrees.
If another execution happens such as the one in Oklahoma, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole death penalty is stopped.
He says if Texas keeps refusing to identify where its drugs come from, other inmates could have painful extended executions. Dwahli Sikautau, KERA News.
There's been so much talk about Virgin America's win yesterday over Southwest Airlines for control of two gates at Love Field. But much bigger changes are ahead this fall when Wright Amendment restrictions are lifted October 13th. KERA's Bill Zeeble talks with Rick Seney of Dallas-based FairCompare.com about what this all means for the people who really count, flyers.
Rick Seney with FairCompare, thanks for stopping in.
I'm happy to be here today. Thanks for having us.
Overall, how significantly is the airline landscape changing this fall for people who fly, given that the Wright Amendment will be lifted in October and Southwest's allowed to fly anywhere nonstop from Love Field, so we also have Virgin America moving from DFW to Love?
Sure, I think it's quite significant. And not only that, you also have the merger of U.S. Airways and American Airlines, which adds to that significance. So you have three events that should, in my opinion, and we study airfare data for the last 10 years, actually make this one of the cheapest places in the country to fly out of later this year.
Do we know how much cheaper and for how long do you think that might last?
Generally, when airlines start a new route in an incursion or a competitive situation in another city, you see anywhere from 4 to 7 months of what we call predatory pricing, trying to introduce their product. Usually that discount is between 30 and 50%. Typically on leisure travelers mostly, they tend to keep their prices a little bit higher for business travelers who buy their tickets inside of 7 days of departure.
So Southwest controls almost all of Love, like 80% of it.
Sure.
Does the Virgin move in really have much of an impact on Southwest?
It does on the routes that they are actually going to be flying. So when your San Francisco's, the LA's, the Chicago's, the Washington Reagan's, the New York area, absolutely it will have impact on those areas. Other areas like Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, some of their short haul routes, it won't have any significance whatsoever.
And does the change on the ticket from DFW to DAL, could that hurt Virgin because people booking thinking they're going to the big international airport might now have to reconsider that they're going to a Dallas, almost downtown airport?
There's no doubt that there'll be a little bit of airport confusion. We had a guy from Germany that ended up in Sydney, Montana, instead of Sydney, Australia, because of code confusion. So there will be a little bit of code confusion. You'll be very clear on their tickets. I'm sure they will provide extra information to make sure you're not going to DFW, especially on that transition where they're flying one day out of DFW and the next day they're starting to fly in October out of Love Field. So a lot of people that are going to be holding their tickets may have some confusion. I'm sure some people will end up at DFW in mid to late October, and they're going to have to probably notify each one of those individuals around that two-week period of that transition.
When Southwest or Virgin lower a price, let's say from San Francisco to Love, will that force American or Delta or United or the other carriers to match those fares even though they're out of DFW International?
It's really simple for airlines. If you are $1 more than your competitor on a particular route, you're on page 20 of shopping results. That means you're not going to get any bookings. So you have to match. Now, if American has 10 flights a day and Southwest and Virgin America only have 4 or 5 flights in combination, it'll only be the times of day that match exactly those flights where they'll drop prices. For example, with Spirit Airlines, who has a flight in the evening to Las Vegas, American has several flights a day to Las Vegas, but only the one that matches the time frame of Spirit actually is discounted.
Rick Cini, thanks a lot for coming in.
Great, thank you.
There is an empty seat in the Dallas Symphony's string section. Longtime violinist Arcady Foeman died last week, but his influence lives on in North Texas. Filmmaker and broadcaster Quinn Matthews shares this appreciation.
A standing ovation opened the final concert this weekend of the new Conservatory of Dallas, as students, parents, and supporters paid tribute to its founder, Arcady Foeman, who died last week at 68. Foeman immigrated to Dallas from Soviet Latvia in 1975 and was a violinist in the Dallas Symphony for almost 40 years. He leaves an empty chair in the orchestra, but a life-changing influence on more than 2,000 conservatory graduates, among them Chloe Trevor, now a professional violinist.
Mr. Foeman meant everything to me. I mean, he was definitely a very strong father figure in my life. I started studying with him when I was about 10, and I studied with him until I went to college. And I will tell anybody that I learned absolutely everything from him. Everything about playing violin, about music, about working together with people, about life.
Let me confess my bias. I've been involved with the conservatory since the 80s, serving on its advisory board and helping with concerts. That's how I learned about these lives transformed by a teacher. I also got to film the students as Foeman turned them into cultural ambassadors, taking them to Moscow, Prague, St. Petersburg, and the White House. Amanda Ambrosio remembers that trip.
On the plane back from the White House the very first time in 1986, he goes, next we'll go to the Soviet Union, my former home, or Russia. And sure enough, 3 years later, we went on a plane to Russia.
He didn't set small goals.
No, not at all. Dream big and work hard and you'll get there. I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I really learned from Arcady.
Ambrosio is putting that lesson to work now as a manager in the aircraft industry. I have seen over the last 30 years that music is a powerful force in the right hands, and teaching music is a profound way to share one life with many. Charles E. Griffiths agrees. She studied violin with Foeman at 7 and continued through high school. Now a Juilliard graduate, she came back to direct the high school orchestra program in Rockwall.
I think it's really important when you receive such an education that you give it to the younger generation, and that's how I decided to do what I'm doing currently.
And listen to these students, high school students. They are showing us what it takes to pass on things that are meaningful. It takes the devotion of a remarkable life. For KERA News, I'm Quinn Matthews.
To see Quinn Matthews' video tribute to Arcady Foeman, visit artandseek.org. And a final note today about an error in Monday's story about last week's municipal elections. We mistakenly reported that incumbent Hector Cazares won the Wilmers mayor's race by 3 votes. In fact, it was challenger Casey Burris. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.